Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to the Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, of the Turner's Take newsletter. I am a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with self-directed clients online with our DT Pro and fantastic phone apps. I also work with broker-assisted clients, and our most popular category is the hybrid, which is a mix of both. I work with speculators and hedgers. I write the Turner's Take newsletter. With the weekly one is free for anyone, and it includes this podcast along with it. But for clients, we have Turner's Take Ag Marketing, which talks about the grain markets and hedging, and Turner's Take Market Alert, which has our spec ideas when we have them. So if you have any questions for me or want to give me a contact, all my information's in the show notes and on the websites, turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. All right, so let's get into it here. It is Wednesday. We've had quite a week already. Let's start off with the macro markets and U.S. and China. So after last week, and it was realized that the trade deal was not going to happen between U.S. and China, we had a nice big sell-off there in the equity markets and in the grain markets. Right around, late Sunday night, probably early Monday morning, we even had China do some retaliatory tariffs. And that was, I want to say that Monday morning was probably the lows, like around 9, 10 o'clock until the market, and 9, 10 a.m. till the market started to come back. Since then, it seems like, I'll say a couple of things here. One is, when it comes to uncertainty in events like this, the second or third or fourth time it happens never is as drastic as the first time. So what I mean by that is the first time when we had talks of tariffs, it really shocked the economy, and it was a big deal. I think the stock market went from, the S&P was about 2,900 and went eventually like down to 2,300. On concerns of tariffs and slowdowns and the Fed raising rates, there's a whole bunch of things going on, but the tariffs definitely did not help things. And it probably could have been the driver the whole way on the concern for this near trade war and the economic growth and all that, and slowdown. So what I want to, and then what I say is the first, the second, third, and fourth times around of these things aren't as bad as the first, is if you think back to when, this is like when the government shut down, when Obama was still president the first time, or the first time we thought one of the European countries could leave the euro, I think it was Greece, or the Brexit vote, or whatever it may be, those events and the tariff. The first time it's about to happen, because there's no playbook, because no one knows what it looks like, because it's, the sky is falling, Greece is going to come out of the euro is going to explode, or, the government's going to collapse, can't pay its debts, or, Brexit, what does that mean? The market always reacts. So I think we've already seen the overreaction from the tariff and the U.S.-China trade war. And that was basically, combined with the Fed tightening and the concerns for slow growth. And that happened towards the end of last calendar year. And since then, we've rallied. So now that we rallied in the S&P from about 2350 all the way up to making new highs to 2950, and then almost right on cue, the talks between the United States and China have broken down. And now when you look at the game plan and what's going on, we had about a 5 or 6%, I think we had a 5% correction in the stock market, which is fine. It's justified, right? I can even see maybe a 10%, correction when it's all said and done. I don't think it will be, but you could make the case for it, but it's not going to be as drastic as last time because everyone now understands what tariffs look like. And quite honestly, what tariffs look like is we went from a very strong growth to moderate growth, during tariffs. And if we still have moderate growth, that's no reason for the stock market to get a bear market. However, when we were first going through it, no one knew what it would meant, right? I will say this too, one of the advantage, Trump does have a lot of advantages here. The dollar's kind of strong and can afford to lose some value. He's kind of playing a little bit with house money with how well the economy and the stock market's been doing. If China retaliates, let's say by dumping bonds, that would hurt the U.S. dollar, and it would help our exports. These tariffs that we do have in place has basically shrunk the trade deficit significantly. And we've also seen in the economic, now the economic numbers have been mixed during all this time, but one of the things we have seen is job growth, especially in manufacturing and more of like, working class, which is the whole thing, globalization was, good for the rich, but not good for everyone else. And we are, not outside of the ag community and the farm economy, we have been seeing gains in manufacturing and retail and across America, not just for high income earners and jobs. So there have been trade-offs, and I think there are things that he can go back and sell to. So I don't think, and China, by the way, I don't think they're coming back. They may come back to the negotiating table. Everyone wants to talk, but, they can't just uproot, their laws and change things on a dime when it comes to intellectual property and technology transfer and their whole political and economic system. It's not that easy. So, yeah, they're talking, and, there's going to be ups and downs for that. What I will say is the stock market's probably a buy on the dips. Unless we see some real, if it's just slower growth, it probably is. If it's, we think about a recession, obviously probably don't want to be in the market. But, right now it just seems like we're going from potential of 3% GDP growth to 2%. And that's fine. The economy will keep on chugging. The directors of these companies, the people who run these big multinationals will find ways to get around, the whole China issue. They'll switch the supply chain to different nations in Asia and Southeast Asia. They'll won't use China as much, and they'll find other markets for manufacturing. It will take a little while, but it's already been happening. So that's where I think it is. So I do like the S&P. I've been talking about that. I do like buying the dips, and we have been. The best part about the S&P now is you have that micro contract, which is worth about $14,000 or $15,000 of the E-mini S&P. I think the margins are like 600 a night. So, a lot of times to trade the E-mini S&P, which is almost $150,000 contract of the spider of the S&P, it's like a $6,000 or $7,000 margin. And when you think about the overnight risk or the position, the position trading risk, not everyone wants to be part of that. But I think it's a lot easier to do for any real account to do it on the micro. I do like that, and I think we'll continue to watch that. Just in terms of the data, though, the Chinese economy has been, their latest economic reports were weaker than expected, and I'm sure they're noticing that. The U.S. has been mixed. Some of the auto and retail that came out this morning was a little bit weak, which means consumers aren't spending as much. Probably, same thing as everyone else, kind of waiting to see what's going to happen here with the U.S. and China if the economy is going to slow. So, I don't know. I'm gonna be long the S&P here. I like the micro. I like the futures. If that's too big, check out the micro. If you don't like the micro, there are ways to do it with options, or just being in the cash market. But I do think over time, that should play out. We're still gonna have growth on that. So that, and hopefully they'll keep on talking. So that's where we are on the macro markets. And the last thing I'll say about this, there was some talk about Chinese dumping treasuries as kind of like a retaliatory effort. The thing is that China is very invested in the treasury market, the U.S. treasury market. It's still the safest place to have debt compared to return, and they own a truckload of this stuff. So if they dump treasuries, they'd just be hurting their own asset. And if they dump treasuries, probably send the dollar down, right? So that's a double whammy for them. Sending the U.S. dollar down would be putting pressure on the foreign currency, so including the Chinese currency. So I just don't see that happening right now. It just wouldn't do anyone any good for that. Okay. Let's get into the grain markets. I did some numbers on the corn. So Monday morning was probably the low for the grain markets, and that's when all the bad negative information got traded. The WASDE came out Friday. It showed corn at a 2.4 and change billion, which was kind of on my worst case scenario. But what the USDA did not do is change acres or yield. And we're not going to have 92.8 million acres, and we're not going to have a 176 yield. So I don't think we're going to have a 2.4 and change billion carryout. We'll see what happens with the other markets, but not for corn. There's too much up north in South Dakota, you know, in the Dakotas, and also maybe in Illinois too, I don't know, in Indiana, but definitely in the Dakotas up north that I just don't think is going to get planted. There is going to be more prevent plant this year. And then I'll tell you right now, I got off the phone with, I talked with many farmers today in parts of Indiana and especially Illinois, central Illinois, and they don't think they're going to get the crop in on time. And if they do get the crop in, it's going to be late. And they're already talking about switching, their hybrid seeds to early maturing corn, which is going to, could take 10, 20 bushels off, right off the top instantly on what they can do. So, and maybe even more. So I think there's going to be some real issues. I put out yesterday in Turner's Take Ag Marketing, a supply and demand table. I'm going to go over it right now, but I'll add it in this podcast and in the Turner's Take newsletter. But I did a scenario where what if we lose 3 million acres and a 173 yield, and we lose 3 million acres and have a 170 yield. And when we said we lose 3 million corn acres and have a 173 yield, we got 1.7 on the ending stocks, which is kind of where we were not too long ago. And then if we lose 3 million acres and have a 170 yield, all of a sudden we're about 1.4, 1.5. We're right at that 10% stock to usage ratio. So that's about a billion bushels. 3 million acres and 6 on the bushels per acre is about a billion bushels. So if that scenario plays out, if the market starts trading it, you could make the case that July could make a run, right? I think we topped out today at 380. But you could make the case July 394 bucks in the scenario of the losing 3 million acres plus and yields, all the start in the market thinking 170, and then you'll hear the sub, even if it's 169, it's the sub 170 yield, right? And that's the kind of, and if that's the case, if we start talking about and that goes in, then December can make a run to 420, 425 maybe. For corn to get higher than that, for old crop to get higher than $4, for new crop to break through that 430 resistance, which has been there for a long time, and make that next leg higher, we got to start talking about, 88 million acres of corn. High 160s yields, like these kind of things, which could happen, but it's still kind of early for that. So we saw a big short covering from the funds. They're probably getting out. And two, if the funds get out, do they just get out or do they get long, right? The thing is, you've got swine flu is still a reality, okay? That is going to hurt global demand. We still have a very big South American crop. There will be crops in Europe. And also, there is a lot of old crop that farmers need to sell. I know it because I talk to them all the time, and they tell me, there's a lot of old crop, so they'll be pricing that in too. So I'm not saying rallies are capped at $4, for old crop and $4.30 for new crop, but it just really is going to take a disaster to get there. And it could. From what I'm hearing in certain parts, especially in Illinois, and when you talk to farmers in the Dakotas too, there's just nothing going on up there. And in Illinois, we have a little bit of a window here, let's say until Friday, but then the rains come back this weekend, I think on Sunday. So there might be, they might be able to get some stuff done, but And we're starting to hear about these years where we've had very late planting and how much corn has gone up. So each year is different depending on where you're starting from, you know, in terms of the carry out and acres and yield. But corn is something you do got to keep an eye on. So if we are short some straddles, I like the idea of just buying some short dated Dease calls, like the kind that expire at the end of June, just for a little protection. You know, if you are short the board, maybe we can look at that too. You know, just in case we really explode higher, I think that's prudent. You know, we are undersold in new crop and old crop. Most people are. So we'll be making some sales here too, in the corn market. And you know, again, I'll post the supply and demand table. But I like what I want everyone to see is just, you know, we have to get to price rationing. We gotta lose 1 billion bushels. So 1 billion bushels in just yield. Just to give you an idea, it's always a combo, but just to give everyone an idea, if we need to lose to get the price rationing levels, to lose 1 billion bushels, just from losing acres, we would have to lose 5.5 million acres. We'd have to go from 92.8 minus 6.5, go to 87. We basically have to go to 87 and change to lose 1 billion bushels. So that's about 5.5. If we plant everything, which I'm not saying we are, we're just doing this an academic exercise. If we planted everything and we wanted to lose 1 billion bushels, we would have to go lose about 12 on the yield. So go from a 176 minus 12. Go a 164 yield to lose 1 billion bushels with everything planted. Most likely it's a combo, right? It's going to be a combo. So to get that combo, I would say 89 million acres and a 170 yield is that combo to lose to basically get 1 billion bushels off the balance sheet and to get the price rationing. So that's what we're working with. It's very difficult right now to figure out where we're going in the market. We're seeing a lot of short covering. We're not seeing a ton of the analysts. No one has an idea of what's been, you know, what needs to be replanted, what's just not going to get in, what's going to be late. I will say this, though, just not to sound, I don't want to get overly bullish here, even though there's a bullish scenario. The farmers I did talk to, so there are parts of Illinois, there are parts of the Dakotas that are planting. It's not like the whole state can't plant. But the guys who are on the fields that are in these pockets that can do it, I'm telling you right now, they are planting as much corn as possible. Farmers, and I was talking in Illinois, the guys that were, you know, they do 50-50 corn and beans, and there's always, you can always do things in the margins, right? You know, you can make it 40-60, or there's leeway there. And they're all saying the beans don't pencil, and where corn prices are and what's going on in the country, they just want to grow as much, they want to plant as much corn as possible. So I know the weather delays have said, okay, we're going to, you know, either go prevent plant, which is a big option, or they'll do beans, because that's traditionally what would happen. But what's interesting here is the guys who can plant are actually looking to try to do more corn, all right? So just keep that in mind too, and it just kind of depends on who can get stuff in and who can't. But I think what's going to happen here is anyone who can plant corn is going to plant corn. And then they're going to have to make a decision as the later it goes on. Do they do early maturing corn, or do they plant beans, which probably doesn't pencil right now, unless they have to do it, or do you go prevent plant? I would not be surprised if corn acres, when we finally see it, I bet we get more corn acres than people think. I wouldn't, you know, it just because of the either early maturing, or because we saw some switching actually from beans to corn in the places that we're able to plant. And then I wouldn't be surprised too if the soybean acres are not as high as people think. I would not be surprised if they went to prevent plant. More, you know, and the switching didn't go from corn into soybeans. It just went from corn to prevent plant, or corn to a earlier maturing variety, and the soybeans did go to prevent plant. And if that would happen, I mean, I know people have been saying like 86 or 87 million acres soybeans because of the switching. I don't know. I mean, just to give you an idea, if we're at 84 million planted and about one and a 49.5 yield, we would have about a 900, I don't know, about a billion carry. I think it was like 970 or something like that. I mean, if we, just to give you an idea, if we went to 82 million acres and we had a 48 yield, what would that look like? Oh, let's see. Production. Hold on a second. I'm putting you on hold. You're going to do some quick math. So, if, here we go. So, for an 82 million acres planted and a 48 yield, we're still at a carryout of 700. You know, which is not good. For if we go to 80 million acres, let's see what that is. Bear with me for a second. So we went to 80 million acres and a 48 yield, we're at 612. If we go to 80 million acres and a 47 yield, we're at 530. 530. So let's go 46. 80 million acres and a 46 yield, we're at 454 in the ending stocks. Which tells me, I mean, soybeans are two cycles away to getting to a stock-to-usage ratio where we can have $10 beans. Unless we have 80 million acres and a 46 yield, and right now we're the U.S., you know, right now everyone's looking at beans expanding acres. So corn has the more bullish story, which I know we all knew, but when you see the numbers and work it out on the balance sheets, just to realize how much the fact that we got to lose about 4 million acres on soybeans and then lose about 3 to 3.5 bushels on the yield to get to about between a 400 and 500 million carryout in soybeans, where we can start talking about mid to high nines to low tens again. That's a lot. Yeah, okay. So, but that's what has to happen. So I think it happens, not easier, but from what's going on with the weather right now, it's more realistic that we can get to a 10% stock to usage in corn than it is soybeans. And I think we're going to see that being reflected in the planting decisions too. So that is the deal with corn. So for soybeans, we're going to be if we get, you know, rallies led by corn here, I think we have to keep on, we're going to have to, you know, market soybeans smartly. I don't see, man, I thought I was making poor sales at, you know, at 940 on the board, or 935 on the board, wherever the last sale is. So I think if we get a rally up into the high eights or nines, maybe we do have to sell something. We'll figure that out, or maybe because if we get 87 million acres and a 51 yield or something like that, we're at a billion again. And hopefully, I mean, I guess it's almost like you're just hoping for a Chinese deal, right? But that is the reality here. So anyways, long story short, I don't know. I can see acres coming down from soybeans. Maybe not be as many acres as people think they're adding on. And for the yield, it's way too, who knows what's going on with the yield. We're not even close to be worrying about that. So it's still a bearish scenario for beans. But I'm just letting you know, to get just to that 10% stock to usage, that 400 to 500 million ending stocks carry out in beans, we got to have like 80 million acres planted. If there's no Chinese deal, 80 million acres planted and a 46 yield, that's what it takes. Probably not going to happen. Probably a very, very long shot on something like that, right? So, you know, don't mean to bear, you know, so that's an issue. And we're going to have to do something about that. As far as the other markets, I'm not going to get into energy. We've had some pretty big crosswinds, I think. I think the bulls and the bears have been, you know, we've had some geopolitical issues to support crude oil. We've had the tightening to support crude oil. We are seeing some slowdown in growth in the emerging markets, which is not good for the crude oil. And then the U.S. and China deal isn't great. So I just expect it to be kind of range-bound here. So we'll get more into energy in later weeks, but I don't think there's a whole lot to see right now. For cattle, the funds were very long, just like how they were very short corn. And when the cattle market started to fall apart, cattle really came down, and the funds were trapped long. So they have reduced a big part of their position. They're still long, but they reduced a big part of it. I do think in the short term we can see a bounce. There is a big difference between the cash cattle, you know, prices, which last time I looked was like 117, and the futures are, you know, I think August is 107 and June might be around 110. Typically in that environment, you see the cash market come down and the futures come up. So I wouldn't be surprised if cattle came up here to meet more of cash. I still, longer term, I think cattle's going to have a tough time of it in the second half of this year, as we have more, we're going to basically have more product coming off the, you know, coming off the feedlots, and the packers are going to have a lot of the control here because demand is typically not as strong in the summer as it is in the winter, and we typically have more animals, and they hold their weights better, right? Because there's a lot of grain, and the weather's better. So cattle here in the short term, we're bullish on, but you know, once we make a little bit of a run here, the probably important thing is we'll be look to be doing hedges or selling it again after we get a rally. On the flip side, for the hog market, African swine flu really is here to stay, and even if we're only in the fifth inning on this thing, you know, we still have potential to go higher. It's been very volatile, but you know, there's going to probably be another leg of the swine flu price rally at some point. It's not, I think it took a big dent because of the China-U.S. trade talks, but China is going to produce probably 20 to 30% less pork this year. It's a big weight on the feed demand and corn and especially meal, but what it is going to do is it's going to support hog prices. So I do like hogs, not just in the short term, but in the long term here, in the nearbys and the deferreds. This story is not done yet. And I do like cattle in the short term, but not the long term. I do think after cattle comes up, it's going to be swimming upstream against the fundamentals. So that's where we are. If you have any questions about me or what we're doing, please give me a call or follow the newsletter. If you like this podcast, please recommend it or give it a review on iTunes. The more positive reviews we get, the more people get to see this, and we'll find the podcast. So to recap, we're starting to are a little bit more bullish on the stock market than most people are, especially right now in the news. The corn market is going to be, you know, I don't want to sound cliche here, but it's all about the weather, and we're going to be keeping an eye on those 12-hour runs to see really what can the Dakotas do, and you know what can Illinois and Indiana and even into Ohio do in these conditions, and we'll go from there. So again, thanks for listening. Please feel free to forward this on to anyone you think might like it, and good luck out there. All right, have a good week, everyone.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.